This is Laura Dierda with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. I'm thrilled today to be joined by Jason Ewing, Vice President and Chief Information Officer at Midland Health. Jason, it's a pleasure to have you on the podcast today.
Yeah, it's good to be here.
Now, I'm looking forward to our discussion and learning more about what you're doing at Midland and what's ahead. But before we dive into my questions, can you tell us a little bit more about yourself and your background?
Yeah, sure. I have been in healthcare, the CIO, for many, many years, most of my career in the various leadership roles, from small organizations to very large health systems organizations. And found myself in the last 5 or 6 years doing a lot of interim CIO work, helping organizations bridge the gap from one CIO to the next, helping lead through some transformational stuff that they wanted to do. I also have done a lot of work around assessing health system IT, CIOs, various capacities like that. I did some special projects that are out there. But yeah, just been soup to nuts in this space for a long time. And I've been about a year and a half, 2 years now at Midland. Came in as an interim here, and then they asked me if I wanted to stay. And I said, sure. And been leading through a lot of exciting transformational work here to plummet them forward and advancing in their care delivery models. So.
That's amazing to hear, and excited to learn more. What are some of the biggest issues that you're following in healthcare right now? What's been top of mind for you?
Yeah, so I think there are a couple of issues that I think are, obviously that it seems like the buzzword now a lot is AI. And I think trying to understand more and more where that fits in, how it's leveraged, how we govern it, how we manage that. And I think too, we've got to be really clear about what we mean by that because we've been building a lot of algorithms and things into what we're doing now. But now that we're much more rich in our data and how we build out these algorithms and use machine learning on those data sets to advance our intelligence as we go forward with the way we deliver care. So I think that's a big issue. And it's also a big opportunity to explore, but carefully. I think the second one that we've got is spread out around cyber and cybersecurity. So I think those things are ramping up. I know that recently we've had a big major nationwide outage with some vendors out there that are impacting us quite heavily. And I think it's going to be a reset again to looking at what we are doing, where our relationships are, our technical relationships, and how we're going to ensure that we can isolate breaches and get things restored and back up and running quickly if a breach does occur. So I think we've really got to make sure our cyber postures and programs are sound and as we go forward.
That's such a great point, and especially as you mentioned, obviously internally within the health system, doing the best you can to be safe and secure with the data and information systems. But then too, thinking about your business partners and just being able to prepare for anything, how is that really, how's that affect, I guess, the operations and the way you think about investing in cybersecurity in partnerships too? I can imagine, especially as you mentioned, some of these large national companies now being hit and really seeing a great impact by cybersecurity and cyber attacks. How does that really make you evaluate and think about, what you're going to need to do differently going forward?
Yeah, so I think a couple of things. One, making sure that you've got support from your leadership inside your organization, and that number two, that you're building out a cyber program with a plan. You understand where your areas of weaknesses are. I think what's also important is there's a lot of technology out there, but I think we also need to really focus on a lot of our people and our process, the competencies of our staff. And our processes that we have in place, I think is going to be really big. I think for me, we're also spending a lot of time looking at our relationships with the organizations out there. Do I have things documented? Do I know what my relationship is with X vendor and their relationship with another vendor? And what data is being passed back and forth? And ensuring that we know if there is an incident in any of those chains of connectivity, do we have the right people that we can get a hold of and talk with and work through? In addition to that is ensuring that we have the right types of protections in place from an insurance standpoint. What happens if there's a breach inside my organization or there's a breach happening outside of my organization that we're affected by? What does that mean from an impact? We also have reputational impact that you have to consider and think about with our relationships out there with others and ourselves. So I think that those things are really important in making sure that you have clearly defined and well laid out processes. And it does take time to do it, but as long as you have a plan and a path and you have staff that's competent and engaged, you can really start making some headway. We've been working very diligently for about a year and a half on our cyber program and really shoring up a lot of our processes around patch management, vulnerability management, risk management, tying that to our governance, which ties up to our compliance committee, which reports out to our board. So really making sure that we're doing things. We're looking at password complexities and MFA, making sure that we've got that built out properly. So I think a lot of those things is just really putting the attention to your programs. I think it's a big mistake if organizations are thinking that you just throw a tool at it and you're safe. I think that's a thing you need to be careful of. I think one of the things we're doing this year is we're going to start next month. We'll be doing a series of three cyber breach tabletop exercises. So we'll do one with just IT and we'll have a scenario. We'll do one with the executive leaders. And then we're going to be doing a disaster drill, will be a cyber attack. And that's going to help flush out a lot of it. Are our forms correct? How do we document on a patient identifier if we don't have access to creating a medical record number on a patient? Walking through all of those examples and scenarios of what would happen operationally if we did have something that happened to us. So I think just getting prepared. So I hope that answers your question.
It does. Thank you so much for digging deeper into that aspect of things. And, it's just really so appreciated. I don't think there's one right playbook, but it sounds like you're doing a lot to really, make sure that moving forward, you've got the most information possible and are extremely prepared. Now, in looking into the future, what are you most excited about and what makes you nervous?
Yeah, I get really excited about the advances of technology to make a difference in a patient's life. How we diagnose a patient, can we get better at that with technology and with providers? And I think this is where I think AI can really kind of come in to play to helping us out. I'm also excited about utilizing data in different ways in which we can advance that care or we can ensure safety of a patient. So I get kind of excited about that stuff. I get excited about looking at ways that we can do virtual care differently, both in the home for maybe more chronically ill patients, people with high susceptibility to getting into a high risk registry of sick patients. I really like seeing how can we start tackling these things so that people can get the care they need right at their fingertips very quickly with the right people. I think that kind of stuff in the future and as we're going down the roads is really exciting to me. I get nervous about organizations' ability to adapt and change. So when you think about that is when you're used to delivering care a certain way in your med-surg floors, and now all of a sudden you're doing it differently, you know, you may have pools of virtual nurses or providers or physical therapists or whatever it might be. I think that the change management aspect with the people side of things makes me a little bit nervous of whether we can adapt to that and we can advance ourselves in making those types of changes in the future.
Absolutely. That's, just really fascinating. And especially as you mentioned, that kind of change management side of it. When you're looking at something or needing to do something transformational, how do you approach that with the teams and how do you really try to make a point to, as much as possible, get ahead of any issues or spaces where people might be less than comfortable making changes?
Yeah, that is a great question. That hits right at the heart of, you know, how do you lead change? And I think for me, what I find is having relationships and partnerships with people in the organization that opens the door for collaboration. I think it's also really important that IT understands its role in the organization. So if you put IT out in the very front of stuff, then IT is running your business or running your care delivery models. But if you have IT underneath, and I have a four-stage process for this, is that organizations at the top have capabilities. Those capabilities are supported underneath that by one or more processes. And underneath that is your application layer. And that's those applications automate those processes and collects data and then your infrastructure under that. If you understand that model, your true applications support processes. And so you have to work with process owners in the organization. And sometimes that's not clearly defined. And so I think being able to work and collaborate effectively to make sure that you have the right stakeholders at the table, you're talking through and presenting the right types of issues, or you're presenting innovative ideas about how to make and solve problems. Being at the table more, having those business conversations and less technical conversations can really help, at least I have found, those relationships and collaborative approaches help us work together to drive that change. I don't deliver care in IT. I enable that care through those folks that deliver it. And so I understand that relationship. So I have to work with the leaders in the organization, and their desires to get better and improve things are always there. It's being able to partner with them in that way so they stay in control of their operations is important.
That's great to hear. Thank you so much for digging one bit deeper and going through that with us, Jason. Now, before we wrap up here, and given especially what we were just talking about in terms of change management, what will the most effective healthcare leaders need in order to be successful over the next 2 to 3 years?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I think that what I have found out there is that there's, different types of CIOs. There's ones that just handle stuff, and there's ones that lead. And so the ones that lead are guiding the direction that we're going. So I think to be an effective leader in healthcare today and going forward is you've got to understand the business of healthcare. And you've got to be a business leader or a type of clinical leader that's at the table having the right kinds of conversations. And and it's really the people side of things, I would say. I think that is going to be a critical component. If you're the opposite and you're one that just takes orders and goes out and does what everybody wants you to do, you're really going to mess up your architecture of your environment, and it's going to get really complicated and kind of ugly. And I've seen that in organizations before. So if you can put yourself in the role of being a business leader inside the organization, it will go a long ways. The second thing that I think is important is the people aspect of things. So getting to know the people. I spend with my staff, I have spent one-on-one interviews, a half an hour just getting to know the frontline staff. I shadow with the frontline staff. I do two or three of them a week where I actually go out and I spend an hour with them. I've been out doing desktop calls. I've sat on the PBX operators. I've sat with our application analysts and our network people. And I continue to do that because if I lose touch with what's going on, it's difficult for me to lead effectively inside of the organization. So I think the people aspect of it is huge, and not just know them as what's your business experience, but really, really getting to know them in their own lives. It's amazing. I the other day I had a meeting and I went up to one of the gals and I said, "Hey, how's things going with you and your boyfriend? Did you guys ever get married?" And she goes, "No, it didn't work out." And went on to talk about those things, but that really allowed her and I to make a connection because we had have a conversation and we have a relationship. And I think that's a really critical thing going forward, because you can get caught up in the business aspect of healthcare and all the problems, and you fail to make the connections with people. So I think those are some things that are not technical, but I think as a leader that are important.
I love that. Thank you so much, Jason, for joining us on the podcast today. This has been such a fascinating discussion, and I look forward to connecting with you again soon.
Thank you.